In the Golden State, here comes taxation of the internet shopping sensation.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. California Democratic Governor Jerry Brown will be in San Francisco today, and the Los Angeles Times reports he's expected to sign the state's Amazon tax bill into law while he's there. The bill clears the way for state collectors to tax anything sold by Amazon and many other internet retailers, not immediately, but within the next year. Opponents, of course, aren't happy about new taxes, but those in favor of the bill say it could save a lot of jobs by leveling the playing field between web and brick-and-mortar stores, and maybe even create some new jobs with the possibility of Amazon building warehouses in the state of California. Kerry Rice, a senior internet analyst at Needham & Company, an investment bank, and he's with us now from San Francisco. Hi, Kerry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How might this affect Amazon? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Well, it's really hard to kind of determine with any certainty how this is going to impact Amazon. We know that in about a year, they will have to start collecting sales tax for the state of California. You know, in simple economics, if they were to pass that on to the consumer and raise prices, that could actually negatively impact demand. And so would the consumer choose to go to, say, Walmart.com or Overstock.com or somewhere else where prices are more competitive now?
So are we talking about a lot of money that this could bring into California? Or like you say, if they're going to either other websites or brick-and-mortar stores, right? I mean, it could just be a shift of tax money.
You know, I think because of the way the recession has worked, it's really condition the consumer to go look for the best price and decide how much it's going to cost us and when we're going to get it. And no one competes with Amazon on selection. And then on price, Amazon is generally the lowest price across the board, then throw in free shipping, and you know they become the kind of one-stop shop for many, many consumers.
I know New York State has passed the so-called Amazon tax. Is this the beginning of the end of internet sales with no sales tax?
I believe it is. I mean, I think it's a matter of time until we do either have a federal sales tax or that each state, you know, requires Amazon to collect sales tax.
But not just Amazon, others as well,
yeah, that,
right?
Any kind of online out-of-state retailer, they would collect taxes for that state. And that's kind of new. You know, it was initially brought up to incentivize competition and to help those businesses grow. You know, Amazon is a multi-billion dollar company with revenues expected to be near $50 billion in 2011. So it's no longer a startup, and don't know that it necessarily needs the benefit of not collecting a sales tax.
Kerry Rice from Needham & Company up in San Francisco. Kerry, thanks.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Well, let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The NASDAQ is up about 0.6%, but the Dow is off about 0.1%, 11 points, 10,722. Not enough to wipe out the hammering that stocks took yesterday. European markets pretty much closed the day mixed as well, up just slightly. Asian markets were down today as well, pretty much between 1% and 2%. The group of the world's 20 biggest economies, the G20, today pledged to make sure the European debt crisis doesn't undermine the global economy. They came out with that today. He didn't even last a year. Hewlett-Packard CEO Leo Apotheker is out, and the woman who would be California governor had she not lost, former eBay CEO Meg Whitman, is in.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com.
The 60s-era drama Pan Am debuts on ABC this Sunday. It is a lavish production and one of many examples this fall of how Hollywood is relying on the small screen to pay the bills. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Pan Am has all the makings of a big-budget movie. A well-known actress, Christina Ricci, flashy special effects, and punchy dialogue.
Can we roll out, gentlemen? I'm getting tired of waiting.
Did you just fly in on a helicopter?
Well, I like to make an entrance.
So does this television show. The pilot, and by that I mean the first episode, reportedly cost $10 million to produce for less than an hour of television. That's more like movie-budget territory. Edward J. Epstein is the author of The Hollywood Economist. He says TV is where the money is.
Television is the engine that drives the entertainment business.
Big studios are making fewer movies. Not all of them make money. And slumping DVD sales also cut into profits.
So television now probably represents between 85 and 90% of the profits of the five largest studios.
A lot of those profits come from fees paid by cable operators and advertisers. Ad rates are up around 10% this year at the big networks. And analyst James Dix of Wedbush Securities says one TV series can have many lives.
And you can sell it to the broadcast networks, and then you can sell them to the cable networks in the U.S., and then the rising number of international networks.
There's also growing demand for TV shows to fill the digital libraries of Netflix, Hulu, and iTunes. Those second-run rights are usually more valuable for scripted shows, and there are a lot of new ones this season. Prime Suspect, Person of Interest, The Playboy Club.
You have actually seen a surprising commitment to scripted programming. And I think in part that relates to some of the economics.
But those economics all depend on whether Pan Am or any of these shows.
You ready, boys?
Take off in the first place. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Finally, a European court has ruled that Anheuser-Busch and the Czech brewer Budvar can both continue using the Budweiser trademark in Britain. There's really no confusion because British beer drinkers have been privy to both brands since the 1970s. For the record, the Czech beer arrived 1 year before Anheuser-Busch, and the two have been battling over the trademark ever since. So, okay, Britain, now these buds are for you. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24-7, 365 kind of thing. Every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Bob Moon, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.